Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with episode number 295 of Shut Up and Grind with your host, yours truly, Robert B. Foster. So here we're all about overcoming obstacles, we're about defying the odds and helping you clear whatever is in your path to the successes that you want out of your life. So if you're brand new, welcome first and foremost, and just see it all the way through. Like if you don't have time to sit through the live feed, we're available on all podcast platforms. I'm on right now, we're streaming live on 6 different platforms: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. We're on all of them. And we are here for you. It's like I brought guests on from all over the world, from 6 different continents. At some point, we're going to get Antarctica. I'm determined. We're going to have all 7 continents. But guests share their stories of overcoming, defying the odds, and just getting through the struggles of everyday life. So if you're going through something in your world, this show, I'm sure now we're closing in on 300 episodes. I'm sure there's going to be at least one episode that can speak to whatever it is that you're going through. So it can give you hope to get you to the other side. All right. So today we're going to be talking about the ups and downs of the fashion industry and probably a whole bunch of other things in between. And helping me have this conversation is Claudine DeSola. Welcome from New York City.
Well, awesome. New York. Thanks New York. For having me. Yeah.
You didn't specify city. Is it New York City?
Well, I'm in Brooklyn, but okay. A lot of my work is based in New York City, so in Manhattan. So, yeah, that's I'm in right. The 5 boroughs.
Okay. Fun fact, my family is actually from Brooklyn. I personally was born in Far Rockaway. The rest of my siblings were all born in Brooklyn.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yes, Brooklyn in the house.
Good stuff. All right, so talk to us. Who is Claudine?
Sure. So I come from an event and fashion production background. I create also, besides large scale fashion shows, fashion presentations, influencer events and activations. I work a lot with just overall communication, strategy, when there's a new product launch, possibly coming up with the strategy from what we're going to be doing with influencers to events to public relations. So a whole mix of marketing, events, and communications.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's fun, but there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of, triumphs, as well as a lot of failures in the mix. You know, I work as an entrepreneur, freelance. So, I have a part-time job right now, but then I also mix it up with a lot of freelance work. So it's like a lot of hustling all the time.
All right. And is this an industry that you wanted to be in, or did you just kind of fall into it?
Yeah, when I was in college, I went to Marist College in New York, upstate in Poughkeepsie, a great school if you're interested in communications, public relations, advertising, as well as fashion, because they have a very strong fashion department. So went there intentionally because I knew I wanted to do PR events, but I also wanted to at times work in fashion, work in beauty, work in a lot of the things that I love and I am passionate about. Majored in college and then interned throughout college at fashion companies like J. Crew and Women's Wear Daily. You know, when I got out of school, I had a small job at Calvin Klein and I worked with a fashion designer for many years. And then I went into more of the agency side of things, small boutique agencies. Then I owned my own agency. I've worked with, a lot of bigger agencies. So I've really been able to mix it up a lot throughout my career.
So how did you get there from college graduate to getting to where you're working with celebrities and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the number one thing that I did, and I tell like all of my friends that have college students right now, intern. You know, I think that you have to, one of the hardships maybe in a way is like sometimes working for free, to build your portfolio. It's one of the things that, you just have to learn to network. You need to learn how the industry works. You know, it's all really in your Rolodex, right? Like who the people, you know, when you hear that, you know, you could work really hard. You could, you know, book study, you could get all A's, but if you don't know how to network, especially in the fashion, beauty, lifestyle industry, you know, it's really hard. You know, it's really who you know. It's doing a consistently good job so that you can get the next job, you know, or when a job comes up for people to be like, oh, I remember Claudine did a really great job. You know, let me refer her to you, because no one wants to refer the person that they're worried might not do a good job. So, you know, it's always like putting your best foot forward so that you can get repeat business, especially if you're freelancing, especially if you have an agency or work for an agency. It's all referrals.
See, I always use the phrase, make it undeniable. Like no matter what you do, no matter what you do, go into that job, go into that coaching position, teaching position, podcast, no matter what it is, be undeniable. Like I love speaking on panels because who I am at my core is I'm a competitor, you know? So like I speak on a panel and I make sure that when I'm done, they're going to be wow. You know, wow. Yeah. It's like, just be undeniable. That way, when opportunities arise, you're on top of mind awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be on the ball. You have to, you know, give 200%, you know, you have to be undeniable. You have to give your 200, 250%. You can't just like status quo is just not where it's at. You know, you really, it's a very challenging and competitive, you just mentioned competitor, but it's very competitive industry. So, you know, and after the pandemic, these worlds kind of changed a little bit. I don't think that they fully bounced back, you know, like how they were. So there's not as many jobs available. So if you want to be in the industry, you have to really, you know, try your hardest.
So how did you navigate the pandemic?
Yeah, so interesting. So like, you know, obviously there was no fashion shows and I do, you know, besides fashion, I work in beauty, I work in lifestyle, I work with a lot of consumer products. So like consumer packaged goods, like really cool energy drinks or water companies or, you know, candle, home decor, a whole mix of different things that we sometimes will build out influencer programs or events for. That's really like a big part of our business right now is like creating user generated content for brands, creating influencer events, not just fashion. You know, a lot, everything we do has to have style, you know. So even if we're doing a photo shoot for a really cool new, you know, collagen protein drink or whatever it is, we want to make sure that it's stylish, you know, the that there is, you know, a thought process in the decor, the way that we create the photography, the videography, the people we cast in these sort of things. So there's always like a fashion element, even if it's not for a fashion brand. But the way we navigated the pandemic is we did a lot of things virtually. So we, you know, we did a virtual, we did virtual photo shoots, which was really crazy. Like Thomas Concordia, who we work with often, who's a big fashion photographer, he was like, what, you want me to do a virtual photo shoot? And we photographed like over 100 people across the country for this photo shoot that we did. And it was all virtual. Like it was a little odd. It was like off of Zoom, but the photos came out amazing. It was able, it really captured a lot of different personalities and it made people really happy. So like, you know, again, with fashion, with beauty, there's a little bit sometimes of this like competitive, like kind of, it's a hard industry. So it's like anytime you can find fun in it and really have a good time and be authentic is so cool. So we did that as well as we did something that I love, which are virtual shows. So we started packaging these like little snippets from different brands, as well as we mixed it in with comedy and music and fashion, a whole bunch of it. And we produced these shows that we would have people come in and join us live. So it was like a virtual live event. And it was really fun. It's definitely kind of helped us because one of the things that we do now is social selling. I don't know how much you know about social selling and like live selling. It's kind of, so we do a lot on different networks like Talk Shop Live, where we'll go live and we'll sell different products. And the way we do it a little bit different is we make a party out of it sometimes. So we'll come to you live from the Color Factory, which is this really cool experiential space in Manhattan, where, you know, there's a pitball machine, there's all sorts of stuff. And we'll do the live show from something really interesting, or we'll come to you live from Brooklyn, where some of us are roller skating while we're talking about different products. So we try to make these like interesting and fun for the audience, which is really cool.
Awesome. I'm not over the virtual photo shoot thing. Like, how did that work?
Yeah. So everyone had a time. They had to Zoom in for that time. And Thomas was able to set up he had this special studio kind of room that he set up that was really dark, and you would see the camera and everyone would join us. And they knew, you know, we would be doing a quick interview and we would do some photos, and then we were able to like release the photos from there. They actually came out awesome. It was funny because we did it and then we saw a little bit of a trend happening afterward. We were like, you know, because we were like, you know, people didn't want to get together for so long that, you know, we still wanted to kind of have this opportunity to make art, you know, and be creative. So between the photo shoots and then that show that I mentioned to you, you know, we were able to at least still have a lot of interaction and kind of throw parties in a way. Like, you know, the show that we did, like, you know, we had live music on there, we had live comedy on there, but then it was mixed in and was sponsored by a beauty brand or sponsored by, you know, a coffee, you know, iced coffee brand. So, which was really neat for them because they were still able to kind of have this opportunity to drop in, to tell their story. But they were also giving back in a way because people wanted to go out, you know, people wanted to have this experience. So everything we do really is to try to, again, like overcome, like we were in a terrible situation, but we still wanted to be social. We are social butterflies, you know, it's the nature of our business. So how do we still get to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of industries were in that same boat. Like, I'm sitting in a gym now, so obviously the gyms were shut down too, and that was really hard. Like, it pretty much crushed me. Like, I had to do a full blown pivot, you know. So somebody walked in and threw me off. Yeah, like I had to do a full blown pivot. So I totally understand that. So coming out of it, as things start to reopen, what were your biggest struggles?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the biggest struggle after the pandemic was really like, and still is sometimes, like, not obviously nearly as much, but there's still a percentage of safety, right? Like, where we're always like, make sure that, you know, if we have too many people in a room, like, how are we controlling space? Like, you know, open window. Like, we, from a production standpoint, there are definitely like a checklist of things that we need to have. We have on a list now that we might have had before, you know, like air filters or, you know, open windows, like I mentioned, giving out masks sometimes, things that we, you know, we still have to consider. And then, you know, even a big thing was like just outdoor events. And I still are, like, I'm a nature person. I love, like, as much as we can get outdoors to do fashion shows and presentations and photo shoots. So, you know, I had one of my events, like, as soon as it felt like okay to do events again, was like an outdoor event on a farm. You know, it was like big, you know, we did a big photo shoot there, you know, and embrace the fact that, you know, being outside was, you know, awesome. We could still bring people together. We didn't have to worry about that. So, you know, it's always like, I think that you have to find the best way of doing things still in these kinds of situations.
Okay. So what are you working on now?
Yeah. So right now I work part time as a communications specialist. I help produce events and programming as far as like partnerships and putting those events together. So I get to do really fun stuff for a not-for-profit organization called Groundswell. It's an art organization. They produce murals throughout New York, which is really neat. It's all the work we do is for social impact, because, you know, something that I have seen with fashion, beauty, you know, a lot of the companies I get to work with, and working with influencers, I love working with influencers. I love working with creatives, but there's not as much give back as I would like. You know, there's not as much sometimes authenticity as I would like. You know, if brands took just a small amount of the budget that they use for their influencer marketing or their TikToks and all this kind of stuff that they put out there, or even their pop-up shops, like a lot of brands love to do these pop-up shops and have the celebrity DJ and the music and the flower wall and all, even in the flower wall alone, like if brands just took a small amount of their budgets that they put toward all the flashy stuff and put it in, like, you know, opportunity to give back, to get involved with amazing organizations, like I would feel so much better, you know, because it's like with the organization I get to work with, you know, we work with youth, you know, they have summer jobs, they're creating these incredible murals, they're, you know, giving back to the community. We're empowering the next generation of artists. We're bringing, New York is all about creativity and art. Like, that's why I love to live in New York, right? That's why I love fashion. Like, we're one of the fashion capitals of the world. And, you know, this organization gives that, you know, gives a gift to New York every time that they create a mural, as well as gives voices to these youth artists. So I do that. So, you know, we're getting ready right now for our summer leadership program. There's a lot of opportunities to work with a lot of brands on that. So, you know, we're looking, everything that we do, we try to think about, you know, like even the t-shirts that we give out, we want them to be cool. You know, we want the whole experience to be really neat. You know, hopefully working with like everything from, you know, drink brands. Like we do food and drink and everything on site. Like all of that is part of the event, right, that we're producing. So hopefully, like, you know, finding companies to get engaged with us on these type of things is really cool. But there's always a thing that we have to overcome, is we have to talk to brands about working with us on these types of events, right? And these types of give back programs and getting involved with organizations and seeing that it's still a really great PR opportunity. You know, it's not just corporate social responsibility, but it's like working with creatives. You know, these are all amazing creatives that we get to work with. So that's really neat. But the thing to overcome is, it's like, hey, realign your budget a little bit, you know, like you might not need like 50 TikTok, campaigns happening. Like, you know, instead let's get a little bit of that budget and do something that really is a legacy project, you know? So love that. Doing a lot of other events besides just like getting people involved with the murals, but like bus mural tours, again, get people around New York. So arts has always been of interest to me. And, you know, with fashion after the pandemic, things kind of like a lot of, like I said, jobs got cut. People weren't doing fashion shows as big anymore. I was still doing them, but I wanted to always get involved with arts. I did a little bit in the past. So this was a really great entry opportunity for me, and not just the arts, but so a social impact opportunity, where I get to, you know, we get to talk about all really important issues from, you know, immigration, women's rights, you know, we have a whole program called Murals for Change. So it's really awesome. So I do that. And then I do a lot of fashion shows. Like, you know, the other mix of things I do is, I do a lot of celebrity fashion shows. So, celebrities will come to me sometimes and need help with putting it all together. So, you know, I've gotten the opportunity in the past to work with amazing, celebrities, like, you know, Serena Williams on her fashion show, first with HSN, which was crazy. We did like the first like live fashion show on HSN, I think it was, where they were like backstage and filming and like you could buy things live. So that was really neat. You know, I did the first fashion show with the MTA with Yoli, which was in a subway. So, you know, I've gotten to do that. I've done huge 4,000 person fashion shows at at Sony Studios with the Pretenders, and you know, Victoria Beckham at one point was doing a denim line for one of the brands I was working with. So through the years, I've gotten to work with amazing people. I've done a lot of celebrity styling and dressing for the award shows, you know, from Golden Globes to SAG.
Sorry, who was the first celebrity you worked with?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. That's a great question.
My bad, tell you right off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I've been working with celebrities now. I don't want to date myself, but I've been working with celebrities now since like 2002. So I'm not quite sure who the first person was. Daisy Fuentes was probably one of the first fashion shows I actually produced for her. I did something really neat with Maria Menounos, where she hosted a fashion show. Kristen Cavallari with the NFL when the Super Bowl came to town. I'm not sure who the first would be. You know, I would have to think about that, you know, to be honest about it. I've had such cool experience. You know, I've worked with the Kardashians. I did a show for their store when they had the Dash store with Khloe. And yeah, I've gotten to do really neat things and work with a lot of awesome people. And most recently, for Miami Swim Week, I worked with Jesse James Decker, who has a line called Kittenish, which is an awesome line. If you don't know it, I would check it out. It's really, really great pieces. She has a swimwear collection. So she, you know, had those pieces at Swimwear Week. But I have had the opportunity to work with her and the team, her amazing team, Rebecca and everyone, for a couple of years now. So that's been really rewarding. So I love when I get to work with different people for many years, you know, helping them with casting, the run of show, making sure we have all the things that we need to, you know, make everything run smoothly, making sure our music is checked, we know our lighting cues. So I do a lot of that. So there's probably some fashion shows that are coming up that I'll be working on for Swim Week. And then I'm working on a couple of campaigns, like I mentioned, like where we do a lot of live selling, we do some user-generated content, because I really think that there's a way to do all this stuff where it's really fun and authentic. And like we're talking right now, and hopefully people will pick up some things along the way that they'll take away and hopefully learn from. But you know, we like to do our live selling shows like that. So it's like a talk show slash like while we're selling something. So we're, you know, we're building a lot of those out right now too, which is really neat.
Okay, awesome, good stuff. So I asked about the first celebrity because I was gonna ask if you were nervous working with a celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It is, it's sometimes like when I first meet someone, you know, like it's definitely could be, you know, you're nervous because they're who they are, you know, they're such a creative talent, they're such a force. So I've definitely, some more than others, I would say, you know, like when I met certain people, I've definitely been a little bit nervous at first. I don't think anyone, like once I've been really lucky, like everyone I've ever worked with, anyone I've ever met, like they've been, you know, amazing, to really interact with. I've gotten lucky like that. Like even, not in a work capacity, but I've gotten to meet like the person that like my idol, you know, like someone that I really admire is Bono. So I'm a huge U2 fan. And like, I was nervous at first when I first started talking to him. And then like, you know, I always try to think of like a smart conversation to have with someone, right? Cause these are just like they're all people, right? So like, is there something that you can say to them besides like, I'm a huge fan, you know, like, so, and when the nice thing about working with talent is like, I'm doing a job for them, right? So I have my expertise and they're coming to me for my expertise. And, you know, I already have something I have to talk to them about, right? Like, I like to get right to business. Like, there's, you know, and they're really busy. Like, you have to keep that in mind. Like, they might be with their publicist or their manager, and they're jumping, you know, that you they only have so much time with you because, you know, if they're in it, they're like, they gotta, like, you know, they have to go to the next thing that they have to do. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're organized, you know, and that's the way that you can also get to work with people over and over again. You know, like even when I do celebrity styling, like I don't ever bring one option to someone, you know, like I would never be like, here's your option. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to bring a lot of options. You have to also, you know, understand how a person's feeling when you're when you're doing celebrity styling, right? Because, you know, like they're, like I said, they're real people. So everybody has their on days, they're off days. Like you're a trainer too, right? Like you're a competitive trainer. So like, you know, some days you feel really good about your body, some days you don't feel good about your body. Like they're just like us, you know? So you always have to take that once you become like that, like, you know, like not everything's going to look great on them. They're not going to feel fantastic and everything. They're looking at their hips and they're, you know, they're real. So, you know, even though you think that, wow, like you can't look bad in anything because, you know, like you're so incredible, like they're so incredible that they can't look bad in anything, but they still have like their things like, oh, I don't want to show my arms. I don't want to. So you always have to make sure that you're taking that in mind. And then you're also showing them an array of items, you know, so being on the ball, also being in the know is really important because they're coming to you to get ideas that they might not, like new designer ideas that they not never heard of, or they don't want to walk on the red carpet and something everyone else has walked in. So, you know, that's really awesome. Like forever ago, I remember meeting Eva Mendes. It was like forever ago. I used to own a store when I started in 2005. I got the name Caravan because I actually had a store in an RV. So it was like a mobile store and we sold fashion. And then I was asked to like open an actual store. So I had a store on Great Jones Street in New York and another store on the Upper East Side. And we were very, very lucky because we had so many cool labels that a lot of talent came to visit us, like Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, like so many people. And Eva Mendes was one of them. And I remember it was really exciting. I was a fan of her work and I was super excited to meet her, and she was like so stylish. Like I remember like still today like what she was wearing, and I was like, how am I gonna show her something in my store that like she's gonna like, because she already knows all these brands. And she really took, you know, I was able to show her really cool brands like Stressedist, which was this brand from Asia that was really neat, and Cynthia Vincent, which she actually wore one of the Cynthia Vincent dresses to an event that she went to. So that's like the thing is like, even though like someone might know like all these brands or know all this stuff already, like you always want to try to find ways to show them new things, you know, and try to bring something to the experience, whether it's like a fashion or a beauty, like a beauty tip, if you're interested in beauty, like was a beauty tip that they might not know about, or a beauty brand that might not know about, or a fitness, you know, a fitness tip, like, you know, that's how you become, an expert. And that's why like, and then it gets spread. Like once you start and you're like, oh, you know, I know all these cool, like indie fashion brands, then you become the person that people start to come to and like, oh, I heard that, you know, all these, I want to support emerging designers. You know, I want to support the next generation of designers. What are designers that you know about that I might not know about? So you become like an expert in a way of that.
Love it. Like I met I've met my fair share of celebrities, but I only really fanboyed once. That was when I met Alicia Keys. Such a fanboy. Yeah, I won backstage passes at one of her concerts Foxwoods.
How did you do? Did you get to speak to her or?
Yeah, got to speak to her. I had a picture with her with my arm around her. It's like I cropped the picture and like I would go and tell people, I'm like, look, I dated her. And they're like, what? I'm like, I'm just playing.
Yeah, I've never gotten to meet her, but she's like such an icon. Like, so that's such a great person to have met, you know, and you just never know. Like, it's funny. I was just talking to my brother about this because I was doing PR for this really cool rock and roll fantasy camp. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's like a place where you can go and like play with musicians. Like it's awesome. David Bischoff, he actually has a documentary about it. So if anyone is a rock and roll, likes music, since we're talking music with Alicia Keys, like such a cool, and I got to meet amazing people through that because I was handling the PR at one point, and someone I knew actually had gone through the camp, and I met Slash, and he was awesome. And like, he helped me later on, because he came to an event I was doing for the Humane Society of the United States. I was doing an event for like anti-shark killing and a couple of other aspects that Humane Society was involved with. And he came to Sundance, you know, and to go to Sundance. And he also came to our event. So it's like, you never know, like when you're going to meet someone, like what you learn about them. And it's like, they all have their own interest, right? Like they're celebrities, but then they also have all these amazing other interests and other ways of helping out. And that was like, so cool. It's awesome. It's awesome that, you know, especially when talent use their talent for good, you know, like when they can give back or inspire others or get involved, that sort of thing.
See, and you mentioned their schedule as well, like what us as fans, what we have to realize, like to reiterate what you said, A, they're just people, you know, they're just people like everyone else, and they're busy. Like I remember when we were waiting in line to meet Alicia Keys, they had a copy of her day mapped out right from 6:15 in the morning straight through 11 p.m. Like every inch of her day is mapped out, you know? So like,
everything is like, when I was running my studio like full time pre-pandemic, I had a studio space and I had hair and makeup people, and you know, now I do that, but I have like freelancers, you know, I just pull in, I don't have an actual physical space. In between all of this, I had a 5-year-old. So like, I'm like the working mom juggling. So I didn't really have a need for a space in Manhattan anymore. So I, you know, cause it was like going back and the juggle and the hustle of it all. So, but we provided hair and makeup too, you know, as part of the whole styling. So we'd come up, and Valerie, which a fun, small, quick fact, Valerie, who's my hair and makeup stylist that I work with on a lot of projects, she's actually the Valerie from the Amy Winehouse song, you know, Valerie. It was originally a Zooton song, so it's about her. And she's wild and awesome, but a lot of times she has to travel with talent. Right. So I just say, like, she's up at the break of dawn because they have like morning shows, you know, like they're going to talk about, like if they're doing a press tour, right? They're hitting up 5 different press interviews sometimes in a day. Like they have that, then they have that podcast, then they have to go and be here for that photo shoot, and then they have an event at night, and like, you know, it's not only where they have to be, but they have to change their outfits along the way. They change their hair along. It's a lot, you know, it's a job. So yeah, we definitely, you always want to be mindful of, you know, their schedule, you know, when you're working with them for sure.
Yeah, just that too. And if like you ask for an autograph or something and they say they don't have time, it's like they sometimes literally don't have time.
Absolutely.
So who was your favorite celebrity to work with?
Oh, I mean, that's hard too. I love working with Kitnish, the team of Kitnish, which is like Jesse James Decker's team, just because they have their own styling team, and they're just like, they just bring it like awesome, like, you know, they're from Tennessee. So like, you know, they bring the cowboy hats and the cowboy boots or the cool shoes. And they're just like a really awesome styling team. You know, like they all have their own style and they just bring it. The music's always good. So I love working with that team, just from a creative standpoint. I've always like, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with Serena Williams a couple of times on her shows. And I mean, that's been amazing. Like even the soundtrack once was a recorded soundtrack that she had, you know, come up with the the music and like such a creative genius. I mean, the clothing is always, was always amazing. You know, beautiful gown, like lace gown. It's like amazing to see like how someone has so many creative talents. So, you know, I appreciate that because it's not like, oh, you know, I've been very lucky to work with people that haven't been like, oh, I'm just going to put my name out there on something. Like they've been a part of it. You know, it's like really a part of what they've done. So that's always awesome to have the opportunity. I have, you know, I got to work with a lot of the Orange is the New Black cast members, like when the show is still obviously popular and people are still watching it, but when they would have all the award shows and they would be in attendance. So that was really awesome, you know, to be able to work with so many different talents and like so many different personalities. And at one point, I think for one of the awards, I think it was like SAG or Emmys or something, I was like working with five of them, you know, so it's like amazing because it was such a popular show to be able to work with, you know, like just so much. It was like fun, you know, it's fun when you get to do those kind of things for sure. You know, and I've been, when I had my stores, I was so lucky to work with so many amazing people that would come into my store. And, you know, we did so many different events through the years at the store. So, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I'm working on a project, like a side project right now, because I think that you always have to think what's going to be of interest when you're like building a space, you know, when it was either building a store or building an event or any kind of experience. Like 2 years ago, I started bringing my caravan back where I got an RV and I went out on the road and I interviewed some celebrities along the way and a lot of creatives, like artists, roller skaters, drag queens, like all different amazing creatives. And we would do these interviews, like, you know, we went from New York to Los Angeles and we had about, I don't know, over 150 interviews. And it was so neat because something that was just so cool to me is like, I wanted to interview, I love roller skating, but I'm not like really like, you know, roller skating all the time. So I wanted to interview roller skaters when I got to LA. I don't know why, but I was like, LA, Venice Beach culture, like I have to have roller skaters. And, you know, I had fangirled on some roller skaters that, you know, I just love the whole culture, you know, like it's like the Barbie roller skating culture. And we were able to have these awesome, like this trio of roller skaters show up and they did their interviews and they did like a dance and it was so awesome. And then they were some of the roller skaters that were part of Usher's Super Bowl show. So like, you know, for me, like, yes, you can fangirl, you know, fan it up on like a celebrity that you know, but like sometimes like more so, like I get more excited when I like see someone like that, like that, like they were like roller skaters that were awesome creatives. And then they're like on the big screen at the Super Bowl, like, you know, and it's like just like a person, you know, like that has this art and then you can see them, see their art grow. And that's like, I've been told many times that I've had an eye for like creatives, like talent, like artists, actors, and giving them the opportunity. Like I've styled a lot of like emerging talent. You know, I was styling a lot of the actors that were on Orange is the New Black before everyone was like Orange is the Black, Orange is the Black, you know, like people are like, what are you talking about? Like, who are you styling? And it's because like, I know, like sometimes it's like hitting things, you know, like finding these trends, not trends, but things that you think people are going to really like, you know, by meeting the artist, meaning the creative, and being like, wow, you are so talented, you're gonna go so far, you know. And it's been awesome because I've been able to see that throughout my career, like working with talent when they've been smaller and then like how big they grow. And it's fun because I've been very lucky to meet so many people through my career that sometimes I'll turn on the TV and like my husband gets so annoyed with me because I'll be like, oh my goodness, I met them. Like I did this project with them. And he's like, oh, another person, you know, like, and it's maybe it was like when they were 16 and now they're like 25, but you know, it's still so cool because I'm like, oh wow. Like that person has done so much, you know, and I knew it because I, you know, so it's like, I think not an obstacle, but something I would say to people is like, never, like, always like be kind, always like try to be respectful of everyone, even like if they're an assistant or they're a new artist, like get new actor, new musician. Like there's been so many even musicians that I worked on, like, you know, and then like their songs like number one on the radio for real. So it's like, you know, it's crazy. Like I've done like small gigs in like a store, like a, you know, Bloomingdale's or whatever, and then the next thing I know they're on the, even Neon Tree is they performed at one of my fashion shows, and then like a couple of weeks later their song was like everywhere. So it's like you just never know, and it's just awesome to have, you know, opportunities. But again, I get these opportunities from like just networking and doing a good job, so that, you know, people, and being kind, like it's really important to be kind. And just like, I have had, I'm trying to like always go back to the obstacles so that people can be like, oh wow, she's gotten to meet all these people. But I've had imposter syndrome so many times during my career where you feel like you're not good enough. You know, like you're like, why am I here? Like, I don't have the Gucci shoes on. Like, I shouldn't have worn this today. Like, you know, I've had bad days like on set or organizing something, you know, backstage where I'm like, I don't really like what I wore. Like, I'm supposed to be the fashion person. I don't even like what I wore. And like, you know, you're having this moment where you're like, oh, like what, you know, am I really supposed to be in this place? Like, am I really supposed to? And I'll just, you have to quiet those down, you know, because if you don't quiet them down, if you don't quiet those little voices in your head down, that imposter syndrome coming, like you can't progress. You know, you have to say like, obviously someone saw something in my work, you know, they know that they could trust me. I'm here. I'm on the payroll right now, you know? And even if you're not on the payroll and you're an intern, like I started with earlier, like it's great to get interns and even internships. And even if you're just doing it for college credit or you're doing it to get it on your resume, like you were hired for a reason. So it's so important just to kind of always know that and, you know, stick with it. You know, meditate in the morning before you go, you know, say your mantras, you know, and do the best you can. Because imposter syndrome is like real, you know, like it happens to talent, it happens to everybody. So that's like something good to know, is like, this is something that can happen to anyone, you know, it's not just happening to you. But you have to like try to put that aside. And really try to be like, I can do this. You know, it's like the little engine that could, you know, like, he exactly. Didn't think he could, but he got up that hill.
Yeah. See, along those same lines, this was back in 2017. I signed up for this program called Masters of the Game, and I knew I had no business being in that group. It was for people making like $500,000 and up, and I wasn't there. But I don't know if you've heard of Eric Thomas. He's a motivational speaker. Yeah. But like, so this was part of his group, and I wanted to speak in front of him. Right? So I signed up for this program. Somehow I got accepted. I don't know how I got accepted, but I got myself a seat at the table, right? That's what I wanted. Yeah. So I get down there, and Eric Thomas himself was actually there on day two, which was awesome. So like, but working with his team, they're all very, very knowledgeable. Cause like I had been speaking for years. Cause I got into leadership at a young age, and you know, from being captain of sports teams, you know, to I got into management early. I became a general manager early. I think I was 19 or 20 when I first became a general manager of a restaurant. So I was constantly, it's like speaking wasn't the issue. Like I wasn't afraid to speak. But anyway, I wanted to speak in front of him cause I know he's one of the top guys. And so, like I said, I got myself into this group, and I even started my speech with, I shouldn't be in this room. I was like, but here I am. It's like, here I am. But somehow, some way, I got myself in this room. And that weekend completely transformed the way I speak. You know, so it was worth the effort. And at first I was like, I'm not gonna get accepted into this. But then I was like, that's not for me to decide. I said, let me just apply and see if they say yes. And I applied and they said yes.
You know, yeah, it's in your path. Like it was like you manifested this somehow, you know, yeah. And it came to be. But like, if you didn't put your name in there to try, then you would never have known, you know? And like you said, it was a pivotal point for you. So it's like, yeah, I think it's important for people to also have these pivotal moments in their career. Like I've definitely had different points in my career where I've been like, wow, that helped me project into the next phase of my career. And it's important to have that every few years where, cause then that's how you're going to grow. You know, even if you shift, like I've shifted a little bit, I've always shift because there's different interests I have, fashion, beauty, arts. Like I love food. So I like to work with consumer packaged goods, but like I shift where I'm like trying to have point. Like I, you know, if I get there and I'm like, oh, I really don't like this now, then I know get out of it right away. But like, if I'm going to stay in it, like, what am I going to do that's going to be special, you know, that's going to have recognition so that it actually was an important part of my, because you're going to have failures, you know, like we talked about, and that's fine because you not can't grow without failures. You can't know if you're going to do something and do it well without maybe failing sometimes, you know. There's been plenty of times where, like I mentioned the stores, I had the stores, but I was great at creating these experiences and these environments and finding clothes, but I was really bad at the math, like figuring out like how much product I needed. So it was a failure, you know, because I had the creative mind, but I didn't have the business mind in that sense. But I learned, you know, but I gained, I walked out of that experience still having like so many things that I gained from it, you know, and it projected me to the next thing, you know, where I knew like I could do what I was doing. But I didn't want to sell stuff. Like I wanted at that point, like I wanted to, like, I didn't want to have to buy and sell because that you could lose a lot of money that way. So like, how can I do what I was doing and loving, but not having to do that piece of it? So you learn, you know, it's like growing, learning and, you know, putting all those, like you said, saying like, I'm going to be here, you know, like somehow I got invited. I have the seat at the table. I'm going to take it, you know, and just, and owning it. But yeah, I mean, the most important thing I think through all of these experiences that one gets is just to stay kind, stay authentic, you know, and know, you know, too, like one of the biggest things like that I have a pet peeve with is how much like inauthenticity there is in social media, you know, because that can really help, that can really hinder with the, when it comes to imposter syndrome and come to like, oh, I'm not good enough, or come with a lot of the negative feelings because you think like, oh, that's not airbrushed or that's not a photo shoot, you know, and that's not, that's real life. No, a lot of it's not real life, you know, and that I just want to leave that because I think it, I hope we're going into a space where people can be more themselves, be more authentic, be more raw, because like that, I feel like will just help, you know, so much with everyone's work, with everyone's mental health, is just seeing people more real, you know, in certain situations.
Agreed. I want to circle back to something that you just said about failure, because like people who are afraid of failure, I tell them like, you're just never going to be happy. It's like, because it's part of the process. You know, it's like you have things that work, you have things that do not work. Like that doesn't make it a failure. And sometimes things have to crumble to get you where you need to be. Because I was in a bad situation just 1 year ago. All right, 1 year ago, I was in a bad, bad situation to where I walked away from my fitness business. Because kind of like you said, I am great at operations. I'm not so great on the business side. I was like, so I got to get myself in a situation to where I can run the operation and not have to deal with taxes and insurance and all of that stuff. I just want to help people feel confident, get results, and want to keep coming back. And on the creative side, like I like creating the workouts, the challenges, all of that stuff. But I had to let that other side crumble for me to land right in the perfect spot. Because when I tell you, I landed in a perfect spot. And it happened by total accident. Again, I just walked in, spoke to the owner's son and his wife. I met the owner the very next day, and here we are.
Yeah.
Just from
it's wild how those things happen. Yeah, it's wild. Like, you know, I have this opportunity I mentioned with Groundswell, which I so appreciate because I was feeling at a point where I'm like, you know, there's a lot you know, about the fashion world I love, but then there's a lot that I don't love. Like, you know, I mean, we all have time to get into like mass production and, you know, and just like, just the overall kind of ideas of like social impact and social responsibility to like people, places, all things. So, you know, I've been wanting to do something for a while where I feel like good, you know, like about what I do. So it's like, and then that opportunity came up to work with Groundswell, and you know, I'm enjoying it so much because I get to work with awesome brand, big brands. But like, I never knew like that that was around the corner. You know, my mom always says like, windows closed for big doors to open, you know, because like, yeah, that's what happens sometimes. Like things need to close sometimes or be put away, or sometimes you need to be scraping quarters. You know, I've had, you know, where I've been getting huge paychecks, and then I've been at other times where I wasn't saving when I should be saving. And I was like, oh my goodness, like I have no, like, you know, I'm scraping quarters today, basically, you know? And that's a really good failing lesson to learn, because it's like, you don't want to ever be in that place where you're like, you know, I don't want to, I have credit card bills I have to pay, you know, and I have not that much money in the bank. And, you know, like you want to be, but that was like a huge, that's a huge lesson. It's a lesson like I teach my kid now, who's like five. I'm like, you know, you have to really think about everything costs money, and like, you know, what's in your piggy bank, you know, because the quarters matter, you know, like everything adds up. So yeah, you sometimes have to get real in it to sometimes like know what you're going to do. And like, it helps you when you have these situations, it also helps you from a business mind, right? Because you're like, there's only so much you could do where you're like, oh, I'm just doing this to do it. Or I'm doing it to like learn. But, you know, at some point you have to make sure that you're also taking care of yourself and you're making money. Oop, I think we froze. Robert, I think we froze. Well, I'm not sure if Robert's coming back. I don't know if I'm still live. If I am, you can find me at Caravan NYC, which is my Instagram. And if there's any entrepreneurs out there that want to learn more about my business or learn more about influencers or user-generated content, please let me know. Just